The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And a pleasant good afternoon where we are on this Hump Day edition on Wednesday. It's 12 noon where we are in Central Time. I wanted to reflect a minute here on Willie Mays. You know, the Giants electrifying Say Hey Kid has died at the age of 93. Now, see, here is a classic example of a player who is black. These guys are phenomenal. You remember the base stealer for the Dodgers? Remember who that was? Maury Wills? You know, he retired from baseball and he became a coach for the Fargo Moorhead Blackhawks. I got to ride in a the back of a car with him on the way back to Minneapolis, St. Paul to take a flight out. I was performing up there for a Duluth hot stove supper for the Dukes up there. And but this guy, like Willie Mays, is phenomenal. They made a name for themselves in Major League Baseball. It is amazing, you see. And he and the San Francisco Giants, right? 22 seasons. Mays batted .302, hit 660 home runs, totaled 3,283 hits, scored more than 2,000 runs, and won 12 gold gloves. He was Rookie of the Year in 1951, twice named the most valuable player, and finished in the top 10 for the MVP 10 other times. That's how great this guy was. And, you know, the amazing thing about it is, you know, he's black, just like Maury Wills. But I could sit in there and have a conversation with him and him not be offended at anything I said. Because, see, I recognize him for his talent, which is, it doesn't matter what color your skin is. If you can play and you're superior at what you do, you should be recognized and you should not be taunted. But you see, remember the Brooklyn Dodgers and Jackie Robinson? You remember how the whites taunted him? You know, was that right what they did? I mean, this guy was good. Jackie Robinson, man, he was good. His baseball cards are worth a crap load of money to all the white folk now. But yet when he was playing baseball for the Brooklyn Dodgers, they made fun of him. That's just wrong. I'm sorry, but that, you know, that's not white supremacy. That's just flat out hate. But you see, that is carried on and it's promoted by the KKK and God knows who else. And not everybody thinks that way. There are only a certain amount of people who think that, well, I mean, if you think the whites are in the minority right now, we might be. There might be some, you know, source of information out there that says, yeah, the whites are in the minority, depending on what state you live in or what county you live in. I mean, it doesn't take much to go through a census and find out who's living in your particular area. But you need to recognize people for their talent and stop pestering them and calling them out because they're white or black or whatever. If they're good, they're good. I mean, come on. You watch sports. It's cheap entertainment. It's amusement. What's amusement? Another word, not to think. In other words, you watch TV, the boob tube, and they do your thinking for you. Isn't that nice? Yeah. Dave in Iowa, welcome to the program, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Dave. We have a pretty weak connection. I can't hear you. But I need to get this phone call in. Caitlin Clark. Two magazines were published here in the recent past. Just amazing histories on her and WNBA. One of them is done by ESPN. The other one is done by, there's a small thing here in the corner that's hard to read. It's A360 Media Specials. It's called Caitlin Clark, The Future of Basketball. Both of these magazines are just awesome. One of the reasons that Caitlin Clark can shoot long-distance shots, when she was a little girl, she started shooting basketball in the driveway in front of the garage. What did her dad do? He lengthened the driveway to over three-point range, and she practiced shooting 100 three-point shots every day.
I'm glad for that. It is. Dave, I'm glad for that back channel story. I really am. I'm glad you brought it to my attention, because it just goes to show you, when you try hard enough and you practice, practice makes perfect, and you get to be a star. But it started when she was a very young girl, didn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Man, that is amazing.
Thing.
Go ahead.
One other thing on that. On this, that Chicago thing there, where that girl banged into her and knocked her down.
Yep.
The ball was not even in play. That wasn't a foul. That was an attack. And I found out a little later, after did some searching on the Internet, the people in the NBA, or some of the people that are supposed to be head of this stuff, they do not want white straight stars. They want black homosexual stars. I know that's a terrible thing to say, but it's on the Internet if you look for it.
Well, I know it is, because Brittany Griner has come out and she's full of tattoos, and she's come out and said she's a lesbian. I mean, come on, I know that's going on there. Some people just want to play, and see, that's the thing. And I'm sorry about the disparaging situation. I did actually see that hip check that player did on Caitlin Clark during the game with the Chicago Sky. That was bad. And see, Caitlin didn't even have the ball in her hand at the time. And the woman came up and just hip nailed her and knocked her on the floor. And to me, anybody that would do that in a game deliberately, if I was the ref and I saw it, I would eject the player and eject the coach. That would have been the end of it. Of course, that's me. But I'm telling you, I mean, if you don't send a message to these people, they're not going to stop the abuse. And that's exactly what's going on. I don't know if they're jealous or what the situation is. But I mean, if it's the fact that Caitlin Clark is a golden girl and she is straight, she doesn't practice homosexuality, she won't kowtow to that behavior. If this is why they're punishing her, we have a real problem in the WNBA. And sure, Caitlin or no Caitlin, if that's going to happen, maybe we need to start boycotting the any game out there for the WNBA that Caitlin Clark is not playing in, and maybe that will get the message.
Please, folks, if you're interested at all in this, get these two magazines. You will not be sorry at all. They're very, very well done. That's it.
I appreciate it, Dave. I love the way Caitlin Clark plays. I really do. I could just sit here for hours and watch her just sink three-pointers, man. I'm just, like, blown away. I haven't seen many guys that can do that aren't pro. So I appreciate your call. Man, this is just huge. You know, I was talking about this before, and I don't want to make a big deal of it, but, you see, Caitlin Clark has been so meek and so humble about the way she answers because, see, they're trying their darndest to get her upset and say stuff so they can hold her feet to the fire for her comments. And she has just used wisdom in dealing. I mean, only godly people can do that. She's using wisdom in dealing with stuff like this. And I'm sure that if she, you know, hooks up with her parents, mom and dad, and they're just like, you know, I really feel sorry for some of these other players, Caitlin, that they have to be abusive like this and knock you over and commit fouls and smack you in. You know, they're smacking players in the face. I mean, you know, they're doing all sorts of things that are just uncalled for. And why they have to do that? I mean, I never saw a lot of this in the NBA. And if it was, it wasn't tolerated. But apparently, you know, if what Dave says is true and you can get away with it in a WNBA, then maybe we need to call them out on it and start calling in and complaining. But I mean, the last game that Caitlin Clark played in, 19,000 people paid $182 a ticket to show up to watch her. And 1.5 million people, over 1.5 million people, watched him on TV. 31 of her 34 appearances are televised. I mean, come on. if the WNBA is looking for glory, they need to put their P's and Q's in order and understand what's bringing the crowds and the money there. They need to do something about that, folks. I'm serious. You need to complain about it if you're going to watch pro sports. I just think it's so unique that a woman like this is blessed with the talent she's blessed with, just like Willie Mays, just like Jackie Robinson, just like LeBron James, who at least is backing Caitlin Clark and not has gone all woke. He at least sees what's going on and calling it out the way it is. I got to give him credit for that. This monolith I was talking about before the break. Oh, and by the way, if you want to chime in on the conversation, the phone lines are open, 844-769-2944. And then when you get to the prompts, press the number one. That'll get you in here. 844-769-2944. Phone lines are open. We're taking your calls if you have something to add to the conversation. This reflective monolith, we have a picture of it that we have included. And the picture was taken by the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department. And they posted it on X, sharing photos of this long vertical slab of metal that allegedly appeared over the weekend on a hiking trail near Gas Peak on the north side of the Las Vegas area. A similar monolith appeared in downtown Las Vegas in December of 2020, standing under the Fremont Street Experience canopy. Before that, a seemingly identical monolith was discovered in a remote area of Utah in November 2020 before it vanished a few days later. Monoliths have also been seen internationally in the United Kingdom, Romania, and other locations, adding to the intrigue. While online detectives have been working to solve the mystery of the latest monolith, the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department reminded the public to stay safe while visiting the area's trails, especially as summer temperatures are going through the roof. This tall geometric figure reflects the rocky desert and perfectly aligns with the horizon. I mean, seriously, these things just pop up out of nowhere. It looks like a glass tower. It's amazing. You know, are there people from other planets that are putting these things here and using them as markers for alien crap to land? I mean, what's this all about? All right, back to pet news. Missed on a story here. We want to get out there. If your dog or cat loves the taste and texture of chicken jerky, don't risk feeding potentially toxic store-bought brands. Making your own at home is incredibly simple using this recipe. We have it posted on the email blast. Free-range organic chicken is a protein and vitamin-rich treat for cats and dogs. Many pets love the texture of a chewy, dehydrated chicken jerky treat. Store-bought chicken jerky, especially brand sourced from China, have been implicated in a shocking number of pet illnesses and deaths, so it's best to make your own at home. The article is rather cool. And let's see if we can elaborate on that. That's on the Bark and Whiskers site. And it's all about meal mixing, making your own, you know, homemade stuff. So let's see. This is it's a reprint, and purchasing store-bought versions is simply not worth the risk to your pet's health. So what they tell you to do is to slice chicken breast into half-inch strips and place on a dehydrator tray. Dehydrate at 145 degrees for 2 hours. Reduce the temperature to 120 degrees for another 4 hours or until meat is thoroughly dry, and store in the fridge for up to 3 weeks. That simple. But you got to start with free-range organic chicken breast and slicing them into half-inch strips. Don't cook them. These toxic jerky treats have been linked to more than 1,000 dog deaths. That's why we're advising you to cook your own. Patrice in Ohio, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. So, you know, we got this heat advisory for the last 7 days.
Yeah.
And they sprayed the bejesus out of us this whole week and before. And, yeah, they're creating the weather as we speak. So all this goes back to when we talked about the insurance and all the last week regarding you know, insurance premiums. So we got hit with double our insurance cost for this
okay,
year.
And what do you attribute it to? What do you attribute it to, Patrice?
Oh, seeing if they get away with it. So unbeknownst to them, because I had been hearing through the grapevine that insurance companies now were doing drones and checking out people's properties and trying to nail them, extort money out of them if they needed, you know, a new roof, whatever. And, you know, which, as we spoke, if you got a mortgage, you're screwed, right?
Yep.
So, in any event, unbeknownst to them, I completely replaced my roof this year, okay? And I replaced all my carpeting. And so I had to call my broker. She wasn't proactive and didn't call me. And so I was like, you know, what gives? Oh, you're not alone, blah, 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 blah. So I made her go to the well and seek other carriers. Cincinnati Insurance is a very good insurance company, and they're local. So lo and behold, she came back with the premium that was less than what I paid the year before.
Wow. Good for her. I tell you, too, I'm checking into Farm Bureau, especially if you live in the country. They seem to be a little better as far as, you know, some I get, you know, it's really funny. What's really weird when you started investigating this stuff, if you have the internet, which I'm assuming you do, you get online and all of a sudden you see that all these you start getting letters in the mail and emails from insurance companies trying to compete for your business. I mean, I was looking for stuff and I was searching online. All of a sudden, my mailbox is filling up full of letters from local insurance carriers wanting my business. And I'm going, well, this monitoring really does exist, doesn't it?
Yeah, but you get those flyers and it's ridiculously low ball. They say, oh, we can reduce your coverage premium by, you know, thousands of dollars. Well, they got the house valued at 25% of what the frickin' value of the house is.
Bingo. Well, you know the scarier part about this? I know, Patrice, you know the scarier part about this, though, is that they pull your credit report when you give them all your information to try to get a quote. They pull your credit report. And it leaves an inquiry on your credit report, which affects your credit score.
Why would they check your credit? That's
how they base your premium. You have good credit. It means you're going to get paid. And it's like, look, here's the thing. I want you to investigate it, but I'm going to pay an annual premium. So, yeah, well, we still have to pull your credit report. Okay, then I don't want to do business with you. If you're going to pull my credit report and you're not going to take my information, here's how old my house is. It's got a brand new roof, got a brand new well. It's got all this stuff that's new that we've replaced all these things. The chances of a fire happening, we never had a claim filed. At least we've never done it. And so, you know, and you tell them that and they say, well, we still have to pull your credit. Why? Well, you know, this is what the insurance company requires, that we pull a credit report to look at your credit score. And if you have a low credit score, all of a sudden your premium goes up. See, this to me is another one of these boondoggles I detest.
Well, I think what happens too is I don't, you know, we also just got switched over. We had our home and mortgage payment switched over to this Shell Point.
Oh, God.
From BOA. So they finally sold the loan because it
that's
was,
one,
you
that's
know.
One of the, oh, you have a securitized mortgage loan probably. This is one of the worst servicers in the United States of America.
Oh, they're debt collectors. That's what they're supposed to be. But I mean, what do? They bought out Bank of America's I guess, premium mortgages.
No. They bought out the servicing. They bought the servicing rights to the mortgages. And 10 to 1, because Bank of America is involved, 10 to 1, Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac owns your loan, unless it's an FHA loan, then it's sitting in a Ginnie Mae trust. Have you checked on it?
So this would be one of those? Well, no. I mean, it's changed hands three times since we
started. Yeah, I know. And you got a letter in the mail. Here's what I would do if I were you. I can't give legal advice on the show, but I can tell you this after having written the credit restoration primer. Send them a letter to their QWR address and ask them, one, to validate the debt, and two, ask them to identify who actually owns your loan. Send it certified, return receipt requested, and wait for an answer. It's called a qualified written request, and every American has the right to write their mortgage company and add the servicer. But you have to send it to the servicer's qualified written request, or QWR, address, and ask them, I want to know who the lender is, I want a copy of my note, I want a copy of my mortgage, because they don't have the originals, they were shredded. And find out who exactly owns your loan. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if it comes back and it's in some sort of REMIC trust somewhere on Wall Street in the secondary market. Because BOA farms these things out like crazy when they do it. So that's my non-lawyer IMHO advice.
So this could be one of those where it was secured before they made me
sign the paperwork. Yes.
I should. Yeah.
Yep.
So it's all a lie.
Yep. 99.9% of all securitized mortgage foreclosures in the United States of America are illegal. I've been dealing with this since 2009.
Because I'm just a little wench that will just be the bug right up there. You know what?
I appreciate that, Patrice. Thanks for your call. Always ends on a good note, right? See, the thing is we have so many solutions that we can do, which is one of the reasons I wrote the credit restoration primer, which we have available en masse at the Power Mall. So if you want to know how to write a QWR letter, deal with debt collectors. It's in the book. wow. Yeah. Along with all the other books at the Power Mall. You know, you got to shop us, folks. We want to stay on the air through our 25th anniversary, at least, and beyond. We have a mission here, and that's to keep America informed as best we can with the truth. It is a problem right now because you see what's happening with all the left-wing media. And it's because they're woke that they're getting eliminated. It's why all these job cuts are happening. If nobody is supporting these people because they don't like what they're reading and what they're saying is either A, AI generated, or B, it's false. You know, it's as bad as KJP, Kareem Jean-Pierre. You know, the little Shirley Temple wannabe that's the White House press secretary that's, I don't even know why she's there other than the fact that she likes women. It's one of those things that she sits there and lies to people and says that, the GOP and the right wing and the Republicans are altering and manipulating the images of Biden falling upstairs as he boards aircraft or wandering off during the middle of the speech, or Obama is escorting him off stage because he's lost track of where he's at. And yet the Democrats want to put him in office because they have him under their control. It's obvious. That's why they've done it. So let's see. I've got a few minutes, 5 minutes left before the break. Anybody else want to get a phone call in and chime into the conversation? Please feel free to do so. 844-769-2944. That's really funny about Justin Timberlake, man. He goes out and he says that I've only had one martini. This appears to be the first time that he's been arrested. You know, the bye, bye, bye singer. He was in Sag Harbor, which is a village on Long Island, and was released without bail after being charged with one count of driving while intoxicated. They pulled him over in the early hours of Tuesday morning. And basically what was happening, he was charged with two other court citations, running a stop sign and not traveling in the correct lane. I think you only do that when you're drunk, right? The police report noted Timberlake had bloodshot and glassy eyes, smelled strongly of alcohol, had slurred speech, and was unable to pay attention. The What Goes Around Comes Around singer was charged with one count, like I said, of running a stop sign and failing to stay in his lane. Stay in your lane. Was banned from driving for 1 year in New York, according to the Daily Mail, but here he is. Wow. And they want him in court on the day he's supposed to be in Poland performing on stage. Yeah, we'll see if he even makes it for the tour, right? Might have to cancel his tour for that. So what do you think about the Scientific American magazine saying that education is a basic right and the federal government needs to control homeschooling? What do you think about that? Most states, you see, don't require the same assessment of homeschooled kids that are required for their public fool peers. And then you've got teachers' unions controlling the scenario. See, this is bad. Editors of the magazine apparently published this in a June 17th newsletter, citing statistics showing 3% of American kids are homeschooled, noting that the coronavirus pandemic saw that practice grow, saying the true number is likely much higher. Well, duh. Do you think? See, this is typical of science because they're never exact. And even when they think they are, they're wrong. Just like, oh, yeah, the safe and effective jabs. See what I mean? Yeah, I think it's time, if you have a Scientific American magazine, I think it's time to cancel the subscription and let them know why you're doing it. For them to say that education is a basic right, I really wish somebody would call me on that. I wish they'd get their constitution out, look it up, and call me up and go, Krieger, you're full of the proverbial caca. It says right here that I got a right to an education.
Olive.
Yeah, I got a right to an education. Yeah, look, Olive. Yeah, see what I mean? They're not teaching the Constitution in high school, at least what they should be. This is probably one of the reasons why, because everybody's into the science and everybody believes the government, and the government says jump, run to your nearest center and get jabbed twice and get boosters multiple times. Yeah, while you're at it, get an enema, like Washington. They need an enema. All you teachers out there, go out and get yourself a couple of double boosters so you can shed on your kids. You see, parents are starting to pay attention to what's going on with homeschooling. And see, Prager, I signed up to get their newsletters. And boy, am I getting their newsletters. Here's somebody that you should be supporting, because Prager University actually has a homeschool program. And if you need to support something that makes sense. I'm going to try to get Dennis Prager on the show. I really want to talk to him and take questions from all of you. And I want to find out about the homeschooling curriculum and Hillsdale College and some of these other places that Prager University is involved in. College of the Ozarks. I mean, there are some good higher educations. But then again, Bruce Goodmanson was on the show talking about trade schools and how you can make way more money in a whole lot less time. I mean, wouldn't that make more sense? We'll get into more economic news and gold and silver when we talk to Fred Dashevsky after the bottom of the hour break here. And these important messages at the Power Mall. Stay with us.
iComplex CS is a comprehensive natural medicine formula to nourish and heal eye tissue formulated by a board-certified MD ophthalmologist, Dr. Robert Abel. Why you need vitamins for your eyesight? There is a direct and proven physiological connection between the nutrients we put into our body and the quality of our eyesight. Some vitamins for eyesight can be absorbed from the food we eat, but other vital nutrients cannot, especially if you're not eating a daily, nutritionally balanced diet. Additional supplements are essential for optimal eye health as well as your overall physical health. With 23 vitamins and nutrients such as N-acetylcysteine, which is important for removing toxic substances from the liver, this, the most complete clinical strength eye and total body multivitamin available in one supplement. Call the Power Mall at 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
Come to the Power Mall today and purchase Mediterranean black seed oil from North American Urban Spice. Exclusively from the genetic source and never standardized. Cold pressed, it's so good it supports cardiovascular, respiratory, immune, digestive, neurologic health, and so much more. Said to be good for everything but death itself, come find the best prices on black seed capsules or 8-ounce varieties when you visit thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829 to purchase.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I have a good friend with me here today. She has been taking the calcium bentonite clay that she purchased from the Power Mall for many, many years now. And I asked her to sit with me and explain to the listeners what she uses the clay for.
Thanks. So just to let you know, we use it on a daily basis. I will put a teaspoon of calcium bentonite clay into a glass of water and drink it before bed for detox. We've done weekly foot soaks for my husband who has diabetes. We use it for facials. I use it once a week for my clay bath detox. We've used it on spider bites, insect bites, and I've also used it for the swelling in my ankle after surgery.
Oh, yes, I do remember when you had the surgery. To order the clay, please call 877-817-9829 or go to thepowermall.com.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the True Wild Oregano Oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Why invest in all the great natural supplements from the Power Mall and then use a toothpaste loaded with harmful synthetic chemicals like fluoride? You want really healthy checkups, right? People who switch to Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash are reporting healthy-looking gums and whiter teeth. Both the Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash are formulated with natural products like zinc, folic acid, cloves, and myrrh. It's nature's answer to preventing plaque, reducing the development of cavities, and promoting healthy teeth and gums. Vitamir toothpaste comes in original formula and also with CoQ10 and xylitol, as well as in a great-tasting orange-flavored children's formula, too. Get Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash from the Power Mall today, and you, too, can have healthy checkups. Call 877-817-9829. Or order from thepowermall.com.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits. Recognizing the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Hey, we are 33 minutes after the hour of 12 noon Central Time, where we are. It's 1:33, where Fred Jaszewski is. It's really funny, Fred, that all of a sudden your commercial plays, and here we are. Talking about all the good things. Fred Jaszewski, by the way, he is a distinguished member of the American Numismatic Association. I know many of you that listen to the show have called him and are repeat customers. As a matter of fact, we thank you so much for that. You know, because this guy knows his stuff and so does his team. And when they're telling you stuff, it's because they're at the forefront of currency knowledge and trends, and they understand what's happening with the economy and how it's going to hell in a handbasket. They understand the fiat currency situation. They understand the leverage in the markets. They understand all this. They understand what it takes to motivate you to spend a minimum of $1,000 every time you pick up that phone. I'm holding the half-dollar Franklin half in my hot little hand right here, Fred. This is what I believe in more than that fiat currency out there that says Federal Reserve note on it, and half the people don't even know what it is. They think it's a dollar bill.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate that we've moved so far away from the concept of gold and silver as a standard of money and the dilution of information, you know, beyond the dilution of the value of the currency itself. You know, there's sort of been a simultaneous dilution of education, if you will. But yeah, a lot of people can't distinguish the difference. And, you know, that's by design. So, you know, Federal Reserve notes are interesting, but they do include that word note, which we've talked about. If you look up Black's Law Dictionary, the word note, it specifically precludes the idea of money. So it's an IOU. It's, you know, I write on a piece of paper, I owe Dave $100. Well, that's good. But is it money? No, of course not. So, you know, I always harken back to the idea of what really is money, what actually is money. And it always comes back to a physical entity or something backed by something tangible. So since we're not smart enough anymore as a nation to keep Congress in line by forcing them to keep some sort of standard against our monetary system, we have money by edict. We have money created by government that just simply says to us this has value because, you know, we accept it, we respect it, and you can pay your taxes with it. And nobody thinks twice about accepting it for forms of payment. But I keep finding these strange things every once in a while where people say they don't take cash. And I always just sort of like, really? Wow, are we getting there? Are we really coming to that cashless society we've been talking about for 40 years?
You know, it's happening at the ballparks when people go to the concession stands and they're being penalized for using cash.
Yeah, reverse ATMs,
oh my God.
Right?
And it's like, my God, you know, the situation is they're trying to make it look like using your credit card is major convenience. I mean, this is how it starts. When they start refusing cash, pretty soon you're going to go to Walmart, you're going to pull out cash, and they go, yeah, we need to see your ID.
Need to see your ID. Yeah, so the reverse ATMs at the ballparks are interesting. You've got to actually put money in. They give you back, let's say, a credit card, a debit card that you can use to buy the hot dog or whatever you want, the peanuts from the vendor. But it costs you 3.5% to do it. So it's actually costing you money to convert your cash into a debit or credit card. That is really bizarre. But, you know, I remember decades ago when my partner was still alive, and as a joke, we used to go to different places and say, hey, do you guys take cash? And it was a joke. Everybody laughed. Nobody thought twice. But today, if you actually ask that question, surprisingly, you actually get a serious response from people as if it's truly an issue. But there's been a war on cash for quite a while because, you know, honestly, we've talked about this, how the government hates the idea of the lack of control when you and I conduct commerce with something they don't see. And if we're doing that with cash, that's invisible. So they would love to see everything converted either to some sort of digital or some sort of credit card. And, you know, I believe that over the decades, I think the whole idea of using paper money is just going to fade away.
I think so, too. And the bigger problem is, like, I keep reminding people about the time I went through the McDonald's drive through and I asked the clerk, do you take Federal Reserve notes? Just a minute. I got to go ask my manager. And I'm like, okay, you obviously didn't learn anything in high school. You know, checkbook 101. I mean, you didn't learn anything, did you?
You missed that class.
Oh, my God. They don't. I mean, I don't know what's with these kids. And, of course, the manager comes back with, we accept Federal Reserve notes. And the look I got is, what are you, smart ass?
Yeah.
I said, look, you know, obviously you did not understand. You didn't learn this stuff in high school. Your manager knows, but you don't. I said, look at what it says on the top of the dollar bill, a note. It's a promise to pay. You know, folks, we're dealing in a fiat currency system, and what Fred says is gold. And speaking of which, he deals in gold. He's a numismatic trader, and he looks for deals. You still have some of those St. Gaudens around?
I do. I always try to carry some of those in inventory. In fact, if anybody calls us today, I could put together something really cool because we've been buying aggressively on any of the little dips that have occurred in the price of gold as we've been moving forward because it has jumped very rapidly this year. So anytime we get a pullback, to me, is a buying opportunity. I do see an awful lot of potential issues on the horizon, and I am getting worried about the banking system as a whole. Although, you know, normally I'm worried about inflation, and we've almost had a bit of, I guess, almost good luck, if you want to call it that, in the sense that inflation has been so visible. It's been impossible for even average people to ignore. But they can see it. They feel it. They experience it. But there are a lot of times, and sometimes it's years at a time, where inflation is being created, but we're not experiencing it on a day-to-day basis because there's a lag time. So, you know, first we print all the money. Then it circulates through the economy. Then it inflates itself through the value of pushing more money into an economy. And then eventually that turns into higher prices. So by the time It gets to the end of that, you know, where the prices have gone up. It's after the fact. So the problem has been created a while back. So I always pay attention to the supply of money and how rapidly that's increasing. Now, the Fed got very tricky a few years ago and realized that a lot of us were paying attention. They used to call us monetarists. We used to follow the Fed. And we used to look at how much money they printed every quarter, every month. We'd go to the Federal Reserve accounting data. It's called FRED, believe it or not, Federal Reserve Economic Data. And you could pull that up on your website, and you'll look at the bond holdings and how much additional money's been created, look at the bond sales that have occurred in the last couple months, and we could count how much money there was in M1, M2, and M3. Well, then the Fed stopped producing the numbers. Because they did not want the public to keep following this, because a few people had caught on and were making these things public. And the Fed was saying, well, if you bury it in a bunch of statistics, nobody picks up on it. But if people were actually finding it out and making that information public, well, we have to go back and maybe make it a little more complicated. So the first thing they did is they stopped reporting M3. They just said, we're not going to report that anymore. We don't care. Everything is about M1 and M2. Okay. So you can't follow the whole trail. Now you have to do some math. You have to add up things and look at columns and compare them to a month ago. So it gets a little difficult. But I do believe the inflation problem comes from the creation of the capital. So that's the point I'd like to pay attention to. Have we been printing more money? And what is the likelihood going forward of the government's need to print additional capital?
Well, see, and there's this other likelihood, too, and that's to go all digital. And see, yeah, we have the DTCC and Seed and Company, and I know you know about them, because every single credit transaction that is done anywhere in the United States of America is recorded with the Depository Trust Corporation.
Absolutely. And this is what they want. So their push towards this digital currency, again, I believe what you've said is that they will use the convenience angle to support the idea that this is why we should do this. And unfortunately, I have a feeling most Americans are going to buy it. You know, they're going to agree and say, oh, yeah, that makes sense to me. It'll be more proficient and everything will work more smoothly. But the problem is that we lose the ability to count capital if it goes digital. I mean, we can still count paper money now. We can count how many $100 bills have been printed. How do you count digital notes? How do we know when they've hit that computer key and added more of them into the supply? We have no control over that. And, of course, the loss of financial privacy is stunning. Because if you think it's bad now, wait till they're at a point where every single transaction from, you know, buying a pack of bubble gum at the supermarket to purchasing a home, everything is going to be visible, which means it'll all be taxed. And of course, if they want to start social engineering people based upon the way they spend the money, they're going to have all that information at their disposal. I find all this very disheartening.
Well, and see, what I see in the future, if they went to something like that, you would see bankruptcies being filed in record numbers because people would be stifled, couldn't pay their bills in time. There'd be no way to survive, no way to buy food. They'd be forced to file bankruptcy. And then you'd have this massive takeover of property in the United States of America by the banking institutions that were already having a hard time trusting, because I'm dealing with foreclosures almost every day. I'm working on at least multiple cases every week, working for attorneys across the country, consulting them on cases. But this situation right here, we were just talking about before we went to the break, the FDIC, I had mentioned that there were, at last check, 65 banks that are, you know, kind of on the brink, are teetering on the base, on the brink of insolvency. And you said that figure's higher?
I think it's much higher. I think there are as many as several hundred that are facing that kind of problem. Now, Janet Yellen is well aware of this, but she's been keeping it rather quiet because the last thing they want to do is to scare the public into any kind of bank run. So if you remember how quickly last spring, the few banks that did fell. It happened rapidly and it cost a huge amount of money and pretty much dented the supply of revenue. So the FDIC, of course, has its pool. So each institutional bank is required to fund the insurance pool if you're an FDIC member. And that pool is supposed to be reserved for the individual banks that fail to cover the insurance policy, to cover the accounts. Now, they have agreed to say that we've moved this to $250,000 per account. The problem, though, is let's say you have more than $250,000. Number one, you need more than one account. Number two, you can't have more than, let's say, four accounts, even if they're different types, like a CD or a checking account. After that, you need another institution. After that, you might need another legal entity. You might have to actually create like an LLC just to get a separate tax ID number to give you the additional ability to have a separate account that's also insured. So the FDIC has got a pool. But how quickly will that pool be eroded?
Yeah.
So what they've done now since 1933, before the FDIC existed, 9,000 banks failed in the Great Depression. 9,000 banks. Every one of the people that had money in those accounts lost it all. There was no insurance then. So if your bank went under, you were beat. That was it. End of the line. They instituted the FDIC after that, and it pretty much resolved the problem. Only about 9 banks failed in 1934. So it definitely helped the position. But the problem is that the FDIC is backed by government bonds. In other words, they're operating the fiat money system the same way the Federal Reserve is with these paper notes. We are banking on the credit of the U.S. to stand behind the FDIC if their pool is depleted. And I think they will make good on those issues. I think if you have money in your account and the FDIC can't handle the amount, they'll print the money necessary to cover you. But to me, that's its own problem, is if so many banks fail that the FDIC pool was depleted, and we're forced now to rely on this backing of the government, so what are they going to do? They're going to print billions and billions and billions of dollars to pay out everybody who lost money in these accounts to make sure that they're secure. But what have they done to the value of the money then? They've inflated the crap out of it. So, you know, it's a good news, bad news thing. Yeah, we're backed by the government with FDIC insurance, but what does that really provide for us? So I really believe people need to take a second look at, especially if you have larger amounts of money, is it really well protected under the current system? And would you be better off owning something physical like gold or silver to comprise a portion of what you're putting away for wealth protection? Because if I own those gold and silver coins, you have your Franklin half dollars, I don't care what happens to the Bank of the Ozarks. They go under, my gold and silver coin is still standing there in my hands and still retains its value. So I don't think people should look at this and say, you know, we shouldn't have any money at all in the banking industry. But I think if you do, you need wealth protection, counterbalance it with something physical. I think that's essential for everybody, no matter what kind of money you have.
Right. And see, now we brought up Bank of the Ozarks, and I don't mean to pick on them because the fact they're not members of the MERS system and they seem to be fairly well. I've actually met the CEO from the bank, so I know how good. Oh, yeah. I know how they don't like to play those kind of dangerous games. And so you were commenting before, Fred, about the fact that the people who were probably more than likely to lose out on this are the ones that are holding all this commercial paper.
Yes,
because the commercial shoe is starting to drop now.
That seems to be where the problem is focused now within the banking system, is on those that have made commercial loans. So with the commercial real estate values dropping, you know, you have an inevitable problem. If you've loaned $1 billion against $1 billion worth of real estate that goes down in value to $800 million, well, the bank is either going to ask you to put up more money to cover the difference or call in the loan. And that's a real problem. But if those banks who've made those loans can't recover the payments because the people that have taken the loans have gone into default, now the bank has the exposure. And after a while, if the bank has too many of these kinds of outstanding loans that are not being repaid, well, that's when the bank itself can go under. And again, we're hoping the FDIC will step in and say, don't worry, you know, Dave, you had money in your checking account. The bank has no money, but the FDIC is going to write you a check. But, you know, they can take time to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know that a lot of people know that. There's no requirement for them to do this within 7 days or 30 days.
That's right.
Technically, they could stretch it out for 30 years if they needed to. And you're just stuck waiting for them to come up with the capital. So if you've got to make payments on bills coming up next month and the FDIC can't step in quickly enough, you're screwed.
My understanding was is they could literally pay you $1 a year until you're fully compensated. Is that, I mean, I heard rumors from people saying the FDIC is insolvent, that these people aren't worth the paper they're printed on, just like everything the U.S. government underwrites. I mean, if the whole system is propped up on fiat, we don't have a lot of positive hope for our future, do we?
No. And again, I see the only solution is to print money. And that's what they'll do because it's expedient. It solves the problem. And what it does is it dilutes the value of money, but it creates a system where they can at least solve the short-term problem and basically screw the public over by devaluing the currency, which is their technique of choice. And I find that they're using that more and more often. It's the default. So, yeah, we'll print our way out of the problem. That's all well and good. But you're killing my money. And I had to work hard to earn that dollar last year, not buying me the same as it is. Somebody pointed out that I think it was 1994, you know, $1 million is now, it takes about $2 million to buy what $1 million did in 1994. The time frame that it takes for money to be cut in half is accelerating. And I've heard estimates as quick as 5 years from now that we could lose as much as 50% of the purchasing power of money if we continue along the strides we are now, both because of the increasing rate at which government is deficit spending and the rising interest payments on the debt, and the potential for any of these problems to kick in and create this need to print money. And I'm kind of like putting together a list. You know, I feel like David Letterman, you know, my top 10 reasons why the government's going to have to print money. Number 10, fiscal crisis in the banking system. Number 9, government deficit spending. Number 8, interest payments on the debt. You know, and I can
number 7, kick the can down the road. Number 6, just throw money
expediency.
At it.
That's definitely up there in the top 5, right? So we're coming into a political year, and we don't know how they're going to address this. I mean, you know, the last time Trump was president, he blew out the deficit by creating a tax cut, and it added literally trillions of dollars to the deficit. But it solved the short-term problem of generating activity in the economy. So politically, it's going to be important who wins this election.
No doubt. Eric in Missouri, you have a question for Fred Dashefsky. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're talking about trying to get your money insured in a bank because I guess once you deposit, it kind of turns into stock and whenever they get in trouble. But what if you had cash in SafeBox in the bank? Can they still have access to that? Should the bank fail?
No, that's a really important question. And the truth is that whatever is in a safety deposit box does not belong to the bank. So it is not considered part of the bank's assets. So if the bank fails, it does not impact what's in a safety deposit box. And, you know, technically, if the bank, quote unquote, closes, they don't really physically close the doors. If they do, it's maybe a day or two. They reopen and you would be able to get into your safety deposit box and get out whatever you have in there.
So the danger
sounds like
of this
is not paying interest anyway. Yeah. That'd be a way to go.
No, of course not.
Yeah, well, I appreciate your call, Eric. See, the downside of the banking system right now is that this currency that's out there right now is not backed by gold or silver, which is one of the reasons why Fred comes on this show periodically to discuss the nature of the economy and what's going on right now and the kind of investment you need to be making right now. Like I am doing this right now, which is why I have people calling me on my personal phone asking me questions about the quantity and the amount and $1,000 face value per person for every member in your household, as far as the value of what, like junk silver, which I'm a big believer in. I don't really hold much gold because I just, in my mind, it's going to be a very difficult commodity to trade with somebody unless they realize and you can find somebody that understands the value of that gold piece and says, okay, I will take that gold piece and give you, because I know what this is worth and I have a car I want to sell. I will take the gold piece for that car because I think my car is worth about what that gold piece is worth. So, I mean, you have to find somebody that will understand the value of gold. Would that be a fair statement, Fred?
Oh, sure. You know, I mean, I always looked at it in the sense that the larger amounts of money trade that way. So you might trade a handful of gold coins for a home or a car, as you pointed out. If it comes down to conducting day-to-day commerce, I think the simplicity of silver is going to speak for itself. And I, too, agree that gold would be less useful than silver if we get to this complete collapse. Now, I have made an awful lot of strong statements about my lack of faith in paper money. But believe it or not, along with that, I do believe its existence will remain. It'll still survive, just looking much weaker. So instead of the dollar becoming worthless, I see it becoming worth less. So I don't think we'll actually end up having to spend gold or silver coins technically to buy goods and services. If it ever gets that bad, you know, I mean, consider the anarchy that it, you know, I mean, how would the world work if you can't spend a dollar? Because that means nobody else can either. How do we buy the goods and services that we import? How do we pay the bondholders? How do we pay out insurance payments? Everything would have to change, and that would become ridiculously problematic. But,
well, it would, yeah.
You know, but for those people that are thinking about it in normal everyday terms, yeah, there's no question that silver coins will perform much smoother and much easier for an average person conducting regular commerce if that's your goal. And that's why I love, you know, and again, I hate the expression, but the junk silver coins. So the pre-1965 U.S. silver dimes, quarters, and half dollars that are actually made of silver. They can never make another one of these things, so it's a great way to hold wealth. They do appreciate value. You can sell them in small and large quantities, but I do encourage people to accumulate that as a product.
There you have it. And you can call 800-878-2646 and get more information. He deals in $1,000 increments, folks. So, you know, look at your accounts and stock up. Fred Jastrzewski, thanks so much for being on the show once again. We'll talk soon. Take care.
Always a pleasure. And I can't believe that was 30 minutes. Wow.
It goes really quick. In the meantime, we'll be back tomorrow with our Thursday edition. God bless you and God bless the United States of America. What's left of it?
Ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrex can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermill.com or call 877-817-9829. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.